afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of EloquenceOnline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, in a long, long walk but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina. He is Dr. Troy Hall, Ph.D. in Global Leadership. Hey, Troy, Happy New Year, sir.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, and aren't we excited because our Steelers are going for 7?
That is absolutely right. We are in the tournament, but more importantly, there is no team left in the NFL playoffs that can claim their 6th Super Bowl championship, no matter what happens. But yes, I am excited. I'm head to toe in Steeler gear. The name of the show, 2016. Happy New Year, everybody. I promise this year I'm going to say thank you more to the audience, the people that listen, the guests that come on the show. 2016, the year of deconstruction. I'll explain the title later. Troy, one of the best pre-shows I've had in a long time. Our guest today, like New Year's, you saw some firecrackers or fireworks, maybe where you were. We've got a firecracker on hold today, I assure you.
I think that definitely using the word firecracker, good. That's a good name. This is good.
Hey, there's a very good F word, firecracker. It's a great word. What's hotter than a firecracker, you might ask? The best chili ever. You got your chili seasoning, I trust. I put it in the package that I sent you.
I did. I got that.
It's, like I said, still the best-smelling package I've ever gotten delivered to me here at the studio. Our sponsor, 2016, Express Data, Inc. It's right there in the episode page. All you have to do is hover over it or touch it with your finger, xdi.com. New year, but maybe you're saying, hey, we're going to cut some costs where we can. Go look at how they can put together a great solution for you. Printing, mailing, electronically presenting over 62 million notices, letters, account statements, and tax forms. It's tax season for over 140 financial institutions. XDI.com. Hey, folks, when we get back from the break, I'm 32 years at the same credit union, Troy. 1984. Do you remember what you were doing in January of 1984?
January of 1984, yes. I was participating with a group that was going to be going to Philadelphia to do conversions of financial institutions. That's where I worked in Pittsburgh at the time, and that's what we were doing.
Well, Red Hot Radio kicks off 2016 with an amazing guest. Sue Massa is the CEO at Flag Credit Union and is celebrating 32 years there at the same credit union this January. We're going to ask her about what's changed in the marketplace and what never does. It's going to be a great, great conversation. We're going to go to her right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my voice. I'm a woman, man.
All right, 7 years on the air. We're still trying to find an answer to that question. Her name is Sue Massa. Hey, Sue, how are you?
Just wonderful. It's a beautiful Friday, thank goodness.
So glad you could join us. First show of the year, 7 years doing this with my good buddy, Dr. Troy. But we want to hear about you. First, tell us about you and Flag Credit Union.
Well, in January of 1984, I interviewed as the bookkeeper for the credit union. And when I accepted the position, my first day at work, I went home that day and I told my husband, this is not the job for me. I'm going to be polite. I'll give him a month and then I'll give him my notice. And that was 32 years ago. And I'm still here.
And that's really and really great. So, and I'm assuming no anticipation of a notice?
No. No.
I just wasn't sure if the notice was still, like, on the shelf, you know, maybe dust it off in case, you know, things don't go well. I can kind of hand it out, or you might have to start all over again, huh?
Well, you know, when the first day I started, they put me actually on the teller machine, which was called a TC750. It was the only technology we had, and it was a machine that you had to press 17 buttons to process even a deposit to savings. And if you messed up one of those 17 buttons, it shook, then ding, popped open and rejected you in front of everyone. So it was glorious. And
well,
I had
you
to
know,
bring
it's
my
really- I will tell you this. We have a similar machine for Jason, but he doesn't have to touch 17 numbers for somebody to be rejected.
So,
much faster today. So good that technology has improved. But you know, when you talk about technology and, you know, and the fact that you've been at the credit union for 32 years, I mean, you have seen a lot of evolution in that, not only within the credit union industry, but within the marketplace as well. So just tell me a little bit about what you have seen in the way of technology in that time period and how it's made a difference for you.
Well, when I started, there was not a calculator, and I was a bookkeeper, and I had to bring mine from home, and I actually brought my own desk because there really wasn't a desk. And nowadays, I mean, everything's electronic. You use a computer to calculate everything. You actually get to think and produce something. And the good thing about nowadays, you no longer have to worry about faxes or things that break down. You've got the internet, and I think that's the best thing ever invented, and it connects you to other people, and you can easily get information you need now instead of waiting. So things have really evolved in a positive way, and I think that's why I'm really still here. It's not the paperwork. It's definitely not the regulators. It's our members. I really, really, really love people. And even if you meet them at a grocery store and give them $30 from their account, or they use mobile banking and get it that way, it doesn't really matter. It's great. They help themselves, or you get to interact, and that's wonderful.
Wow, that is awesome. I've already got my quote keeper in my first tweet for the show. There was not a calculator, and I was the bookkeeper. I would have thought they had a calculator or an adding machine for you. That's awesome. My second one, I love people. There's something that hasn't changed in 32 years. Flag Credit Union, not like the flag you see waving on a flagpole. That stands for Florida Agriculture. Obviously, agriculture, a huge part of the economy in the state of Florida. I was so excited to get you on because we talked on the phone the first time. You were just lighting the joint up. I wanted to ask you, in my line of work, both here and when I go out and do corporate events, for many years, we talked a lot about Generation Next, Generation Y, the millennials. And sometimes I think we spend too much time talking about the young people. Do you think we don't spend enough time talking to people that have been around as long as you have?
Well, I think both sides, all generations need to listen. And I think we can be our best partners. And a lot of what we all tend to do is we think we know everything, either side, and therefore we can do it all without help of the other generation. And the truth is, I learn every day from the young people here, and they learn from me. And it's really listening to the member, and there are some people the member's going to listen to and some they aren't. And having someone that can relate to you and you relate to them is important. And I think one of the things our credit union industry doesn't do very well, we don't empower young people who come into our credit unions to be able to make a change, help a member without extensive training. And the truth is, your best training is that member. And you have to learn to talk. You have to learn to listen. You have to learn what they're really asking for and seek the information to be able to help them how they want you to. And that's a really hard thing for a lot of people to do. But at the same time, nobody can ignore the fact that there's policies, rules, regulations, and an organizational chart.
So when you talk a little bit about the experience between the like what you learn from the generation, you know, I'm certainly a strong proponent of everyone learning from each other. I believe one of the first attributes of effective leadership is to be teachable, and that is to assume that all the information you come in contact with is like a water, and then you decide on a continuum between rock and sponge, where do you want to be when you come in contact with the information. And good leaders take all that information and they move more towards the sponge because, you know, rocks, water runs off of it, so it's like somebody knows everything. So when in that particular process, what are some of the things that you feel maybe you might look back to and say, I'm really glad I paid attention to someone in whatever generation, because what was it, and more so not as opposed to the generation, but what was something that maybe you gleaned from that you would say, has made an impact or a difference for you?
Well, you know, one of the light bulb things that happened for me, and it wasn't too long ago, it was probably about 5 years ago, we partner with a high school here locally. And we have a group of young people that come in. They volunteer their time. They earn Bright Future scholarships with the hours with the state of Florida in return. And they, my office is right next to where they all sit and talk, and I could hear it all. And there were several times I would just go in and go, you all are amazing, because the conversations were so candid, to the point. And one of the most amazing things I learned from them, we all talk about how we can't seem to educate youth. We can't get to them in terms of financial products, et cetera, and how to better their lives and not make the mistakes their parents made. And one of them looked at me and they said, you know why we don't use financial institutions? We don't use savings accounts. We don't do that. And I said, why? He said, we don't have jobs. We don't have money. He says, you have to educate our parents, who will force it on us, and we'll fight, but we'll learn. And that was a really big eye-opener, to realize that you can try to change somebody, but you got to figure out how you change them, not go to them if they tell you not to, because they're not going to make the change. So it's really opened up a lot of opportunity for us in terms of how we approach a member based on not only just age, but where they're from, what's happening in their personal life. It all makes a difference.
Wow. All right. I got to tell you, this goes back now maybe 7 or 8 years. I was working with a credit union in Connecticut and had a similar experience that you just described. We brought in these high school students to learn how to use our deposit system so they could set up a little table in the cafeteria every Friday and open accounts and process deposits and stuff like that. And what I thought was so interesting was that the next day, after they had been in there just for one day, each little section of these conference room tables we had just pushed up against a wall was decorated to represent that individual. You know, they had brought in mugs and cups and pictures and ribbons and colored pencils and stuff like that. And that was one of my light bulb moments. I really did see a new we all want to be individuals when we're young. We all want people to respect us as individuals as we start making that transition to adults. But I realized they had the ability to express it more. And now, of course, with the social media aspect of it, it's even more possible than it was. When I saw that little moment in Connecticut, I didn't have a LinkedIn account. I didn't have a Facebook account. So it might have been more than 8 years ago, but it was very, very illuminating. And I think it's very, very cool that you say, as a president who's been around 32 years, that you're still able to learn from the young people at your credit union.
Well, you know, social media, I love it. But I'll tell you one thing that still gets me, and I can't do, and it's just because I don't do it often enough, and I would hire a young person to teach me if they forced me, and that is tweeting. I don't see the point. I have a lot more to say than 17 characters, whatever, and I just don't get the point.
It's 140 characters, and it's about brevity. Sue, it's about brevity, you know. So in the 32 years, you don't have to tell them everything you learned in the full 32 years. It's brevity. So I just thought I'd put that out there.
Well, let me say this. Then I think the worst invention in my lifetime is Twitter, because who can say anything in 140 characters?
Well, now that explains why Jason doesn't do well.
Exactly right. But hey, before I forget, and we've got more questions for you, Sue, but before I forget, that is why the show is called what it's called, 2016, the Year of Deconstruction. We interviewed Joe Brancucci internally for the GTE Financial final podcast of the year, and he talked about how that brand this year is going to deconstruct the credit union, and when they reimagine and rebuild it, there's going to be some things that they've used in the past that they're not going to use anymore. And I've been having this debate in my own mind about Twitter. Do you really need it? If I see a lot of credit unions that post stuff on Twitter, and there's absolutely no response to it. And I understand why you have to do it. But again, great, great point. Troy's going to have the next question for you. We'll take a quick break. Her name is Sue Massa. She is the CEO at Flag Credit Union out in Florida. Shout out to our good buddy Dan Berger at NAFCU, Sue. He is also a Florida State University graduate. So he wanted me to say, hey, make sure you mention, you know, FSU all the way. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. 15 minutes to go. Take it away, Dr. Troy.
Hey, well, welcome back. This is the Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you keep the audience wanting more? Is that it? Is that it? Is that good?
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I thought you'd like that. So, Sue, let's go back to our group with Gen Y. So we ask you, I asked you before we took the little break here about things that you would learn from them. Tell me, if you got them all into a room at one time, aside from wanting to slap them up the side of the head, what would you want to tell them?
The biggest thing is listen.
Mm.
Listen. Some
Amen.
People take more than 17 characters to get the point across. But there's a reason why there's a language and a big fat dictionary with lots of words. Because there's purpose to it, and you have to listen to each individual, and you can't come to them with your thought. It's them. It's what they need, how they need it, and how they'll receive it that's important. Because if they don't receive it, it doesn't serve any purpose what you say.
Exactly. I understand that completely because there is, you know, and so interesting when you said that about for listening. In some cases, what it is, it's carrying through with what you hear, because I will tell you that sometimes, and you may know this from a parenting standpoint, that when you say, you know, listen to me, and the person is saying, but I am listening to you, and I go, well, then if you were, I wouldn't have to keep telling you again. But the reality is that the listening part or the hearing part isn't the problem. It's what to do with it once they get it. It's about listening with purpose. So therefore, you do something with what you hear as opposed to just dismiss it. Because another great characteristic of good leadership is to ensure that when you are responsible for a message, you're responsible for the encoding and the decoding of that message. You can't just be out there telling everybody what you want to hear, thank you very much, close the door and leave. It has to create a dialogue that allows for clarification of, did you get what it was that I was saying? Do you understand what to do with it once we get there? And although that may sound like you're being very, very rudimentary in that conversation, it's sometimes helpful. Because I don't think that today we teach people how to process the information that they hear in a way that can be meaningful.
Totally
and that's
agree.
What you were, I think, alluding to when you said there is a language. There's a reason we call them words. There's a reason why we have a dictionary for that reason.
And that is true. And one of the other major things is to remember that there is more than email, social media. You can actually do this amazing thing, and that's pick up the phone and call the person who called you back. Or you can actually, when somebody sends you an email or texts you, hit the reply. Because they're expecting acknowledgement.
Fine, I get it, fine.
Because I'll tell you, one of the hardest things here, and this happened this week, is members are waiting for a response. The person figured out what the issue was, just didn't tell the member.
Wow.
Well, it doesn't matter that you figured out the issue.
Well, I'll
you
tell
have
you, yes.
to
close
relay it.
Close the loop. We had this big conversation here about close the loop. Everybody close the loop. Yep, got it.
Or at least start it. I mean, at least start it. You just said something. You've come on the show. You've been so honest. You just admitted that one of your own employees had an issue this weekend. I wasn't going to talk about it. My bank that I use here in Texas, Frost Bank, had a terrible, terrible week. I don't think I've ever used that word to describe my bank, and I just used it twice, three times. It was terrible. I work from home, Sue. My wife works outside the house. She's in her car. She's moving around. Occasionally, I'm not checking up on her, but I like to know that she's safe and sound. I'll check my bank account. Oh, she had lunch at so-and-so. Oh, she went to Kohl's again, because as long as they keep sending us coupons, she's going to keep going to Kohl's, or she was at Target again. And I love that. I know she's safe and sound. Well, about 12:30, I picked up on Wednesday, put in my little four-digit code for my mobile banking app. System is temporarily unavailable. Oh, no big deal. I'll try back in 30 minutes. Then an hour. Then 2 hours. Then 8 hours. Nothing in social media about having issues with the mobile. And my reaction was, what's the point of social media if you're not going to do the basic thing, like tell everybody our online banking system is completely down, not for 5 or 10 minutes, but you can get back to it tomorrow morning. I thought it was a terrible, terrible day for my bank. And I love the fact that you're willing to be honest that even today, 32 years into your career, you're having to deal with employees who don't understand just how important communication is, and it's not all done digitally. It's not all done in a tweet. It's not all done in an email. Sometimes you have to talk to people and communicate with them. I didn't need a phone call from the bank on Wednesday, but a tweet would have been nice. You see my point?
Mm-hmm. I see your point, but now I'm feeling guilty because I don't tweet. I'm thinking, wait, what
neither,
do you do? Do you put
neither
the,
does my
the message?
Bank,
unless you're personally responsible for telling everybody that the system is down, you're safe on this one. I just will say that. You're safe on this one.
Well, I would like to tell everybody everything, but sometimes, you know, we're so small that I will know it, but getting to some source to be able to get it out there are two different things. You know what I mean? But and I can see now that there is a point to tweeting. It's still stupid, but there is a point.
Well, you know, okay, so I'm going to give you a chance to, I'm going to school you just a little bit on this. Here's the deal.
Oh, God.
That's right. The whole concept of being, and this is what I tell Jason, and Jason, you can go back and listen to archive messages. We've talked about this before.
But
the whole point of social media is to extend the conversation.
I agree.
And by not embracing I would liken that to go back to your first day when they didn't even have a calculator for you.
Absolutely.
Think about that. It's like the access to the technology, no one invested in that conversation to say because their prejudices, their biases totally ignored it from having any kind of value that would be impactful. Where would you be today without your calculator? You know, I mean, just think about from that perspective. So why I encourage it, I encourage people to be involved in social media because it is a conversation that you will get left out on. You will not be able to keep up with trending, what is going on. You will not sometimes be able to understand the underlying language because language is shifting. It is changing on us. There are words today in that big fat dictionary that didn't happen 32 years ago. The word selfie never existed before. So I just really encourage you to say it's that, but what you said was, and this is where we wrap it back up and close the loop, it's using social media for the right purpose, using texting for the right reason, using tweeting for the right reason. If it is your only form of communication, then you have once again violated the beginning part of my conversation because you've totally ignored all the other aspects of it and you're not treating it like a dynamic conversation that has so many more layers to it today than what it had before. So that's why I encourage you to do it, not so that you have to, change your preferred method because you still may be the face-to-face, the pick up the phone, and that's great. But just imagine how much more enriched your conversations will be when you add those other layers to it.
Do you Snapchat?
I do.
Oh,
wow,
darn, I might have one on you. Jason, Jason, we need to tweet back and forth so I can learn.
I don't Snapchat.
I have grandchildren. They help me out with it. So I completely tell folks when I do my introductions for conferences, I am a social media enthusiast. I'm not a guru. You may ask me 10 questions about something.
I have
no idea what you're talking about.
Either.
But I am a player. I'm an enthusiast. I really believe that for me to relate to those generations and to relate to the people in the workforce, because we know that in 2020, 75% of the workforce will be Gen Y, and they prefer an immediacy of communication. Wow. I have to make sure I'm staying relevant, because
well,
I'm still going to be around to be that leader that's going to be helping that particular group.
Well, let me tell you, Sue.
Well, you know what? I agree with that. I really do agree with that. But
I do too. Listen,
God tweeting. Whoa.
Listen, that's going to be up to you. That's up to you. But, Sue, I got to tell you, I love the first show of the year. I'm always so very nervous about the first show of the year. Troy just said he's a player, and earlier I said you really lit the joint up well. So that's what happens on the first show of the year. You say all kinds of things. And by the way, all those things could be tweeted because they're less than 140 characters. Listen, you've been an absolute delight. Everything Troy just said, I would tell you, If you don't think you need a Twitter account, don't get one. That's my opinion, and you can decide. You can decide for yourself, because it is about your personal brand, which is something else that we're going to talk about in 2016, the year of deconstruction. We're going to talk about what credit unions need to do more of and perhaps less of, and I think social media absolutely fits into that conversation. It was so great to get to know you a bit this week. Sue, before we let you go, when you're not working, when you're not at the credit union, being admonished by your coworkers about language issues, what kind of things do you enjoy doing?
I love rescuing dogs. Oh. And I also sell a jewelry line by a company that is faith-based and empowers young people to feel good about themselves at festivals.
Origami Owl?
Yes.
I saw it.
Yes. The reason I love it is because of the people you meet,
yep,
and the stories you hear. And that's exactly what made me stay here even 32 years later. It's the people.
Yeah. Well, Troy's going to close the loop.
Sue, I definitely appreciate you being on the show. And what I will tell you here is when you get ready to go, this will be your first tweet. Your first tweet is, folks, I've arrived. All language is colorful.
Fine, that sounds fabulous.
And I kept you within your 140 characters.
Thank you.
And as usual, I kept you way over the amount of time. I said you'd be finished by 20 after the hour. Here it is, 27 minutes. And remember I told you about how it really drives me crazy when those Gen Yers don't respect the time parameters that we had agreed to. So I apologize for that. Sue Massa, you are welcome back on this show anytime, anywhere. An absolute delight. Thank you for kicking off 2016 the right way. On behalf of Dr. Troy Hall and myself, blessings on you and your day, and just thank you so much for joining us.
Well, watch your tweets. I'll find you.
All right. We'll be there. We'll be there. Sue Massa, everybody. Awesome.
Thank you.
Wait, 2 minutes, Troy. Question and a comment.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm glad you clarified light the joint up and that the flag represented Florida agriculture, because I was a little concerned when you were making that connection, because we had the people from Four Corners on, so
yes,
I just didn't know where that was going.
Yes, we did.
So aside from you, so how did you like today, starting out the first show of the new year?
I loved it. I really want to talk about that this year. Disruption versus deconstruction. My point last year, everybody, was that the disruption is happening to the credit union marketplace. The credit union marketplace is not generating the disruption, and that's what we need to be aware of. I think the best way to respond to that from a business standpoint is to go through a process of deconstruction. Look at what you're doing. Are there some things that you can do more efficiently, more effectively? If you've tweeted hundreds and hundreds of times and nobody ever retweets it, maybe that's not the best social media platform for you. Maybe your Facebook platform is the best social media platform for you. Maybe it's other things, physical branches, services.
Yeah, or maybe you should find some good things to say.
Or that, something that's relevant. Well, I totally agree. Or maybe we should. I mean, I'm trying to think. Could I tweet in 17 characters? No way. But I might try. I might try before the afternoon's out. Hey, buddy, about a minute left. Thank you. Seventh year doing this. I can't believe it. Big thanks to XDI, our sponsor. Check them out, XDI.com. Many thanks to Jamise Harkley, our final guest of last year. Home, how much fun was she? We're looking forward to a great year of broadcasting.
And by the way, my last question is, what's the name of the show, Jason?
The name of the show is The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? But in my defense, I did not write that down on my 3x5 card today and ignore it like I normally do.
I know. That's why I wanted to make sure. But then I wasn't sure when you talked about all this deconstruction, if we deconstructed the name of the show and you just didn't tell me.
Deconstructed the title. Hey, folks, thank you so much for joining us. Until next we speak, his name is Dr. Troy Hall. 3 seconds. My name is Jason Dias. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
The end, and that's all, folks.